Okay, we're picking up two lines from the bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Our learning is once again sponsored by Ilu Nishmas Shulamis Bas Yaakov, the Neshama Shulam and Aliyah. The Gemara is continuing the discussion regarding freeing of the slaves. I just wanted to also apologize about last week. I got very sick. I had a strep and I really wasn't feeling well. Baruch Hashem, I'm feeling much better now. So again, hopefully we'll go weiter now. So now the Gemara says again, Amar Reb Zira, Amar Reb Chanina, Amar Reb Ashi, Amar Rebbe. They point out, Lechora, this can't be the Rav Ashi that we know, because later that Rav Ashi is much later. It must be that there was another Rav Ashi, a less known Rav Ashi, who was earlier, who's quoting something in the name of Rebbe, Rebbe Huda Nasi. Evet Shanasa Bas as Bas Chorin Bifnei Rabo. So now you have the slave. So you had an Evet Knaini who's marrying a free Bas Israel. So Yatza Lechera Salacha is that he goes, we can assume that he clearly is free. As Rashi points out, because had it been that really this Eved is still an Eved Kenani, obviously there's an Isser for him to, he's not allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael, a regular full-fledged Jew. He's only allowed to marry a Shifcha Kenani. If he's marrying a Jew, it must be that the master had freed him previously, and we could assume that way, and therefore it must be okay. So now the Gemara says, Amar lo Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan, who heard this memra from Rabbi Zera, he said, Kokach yesh biadecha, this is your Masurah from Rabbi, such a big Kiddush. Va'ani shona, but we learn the Braisa, so it seems to say differently. Hakosev shtar irisin l'shevchaso. If someone writes a shtar irisin, so he wants to write, there's three ways that Ishik Nikna's famous Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Kiddushin, Mirat Hashem we'll get to very soon. The Mishnah tells us that there's three ways a person can get married to a woman. He could do Bekesef, Bishtar, or Bibiyah. So now we're talking about Bishtar. They all work on a level of Deoresa. That's Papashas, right? The famous Rambam about Kesef. But they all work on a level of Deoresa. So Shtar Irisin, so he writes with the way that a Shtar Irisin will look, it has to be a Shtar Gittin, has to be in the Shema, has to be technical. That's why we don't do it. We do only Shave Kesef, right? We give a ring, which is Shave Kesef. That's the simplest way to have a kedushin. So anyway, so star erison l'shivchaso, and then you're an arusa. And we mentioned a few times, right? There's erison and asun. Here you would be an arusa. So if a adon writes a document of an arusa as a way of marrying her, so the Gemara says that it's a really machlokas in the brayso. Rabbi Meir or Mekudeshes. Rabbi Meir says that she's married to him. V'chachamim ena Mekudeshes, because Rabbi Meir understands that you would not treat a slave as if this lady was free, unless that's actually the case. So therefore, when she marries her, that clearly means that she is in fact married. She is in fact freed previously, and the Chachamim seem to say no. That when it comes to this case, the Chachamim say that we still assume maybe he in fact had not freed her. So this lechor is against Rebbe, because this guy himself now is marrying her. So that's what the Gemara is saying, and lechor Rebbe would want to go like the Shita of the Chachamim, and we see that the Chachamim seem to be against Rebbe Meir. So the Gemara says, "Kita Amar Rabba Baruchila." No, this is an easy answer. This is an akasha. That case over there, where that we're talking about, that's the idea of a different answer there. Kshirabo inech letfilin. That we're talking about the idea is that the slave goes free only if the adon puts tefillin on him, and we assume that the slave must have been previously freed, because generally, as Rashi points out, that an Eved is putter from Mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grama, so they would never bother putting tefillin on him. So the fact that the Adon goes out of his put tefillin on him, that is showing that he is free. And Tosfos immediately point out, don't say it's because the fact that if the Adon is putting on tefillin and making a bracha, that's why clearly he must be free, because that would contradict Tosfos Hashita. Tosfos Hashita, the famous idea, is that even a woman can make a bracha on mitzvah sa'ase shazman grama that they're volunteering. If a woman decides to shake the lulav on sukkis, if a woman decides to hear the shofar, she can make a bracha according to Tosfos. Aye, how does he say asher kedishana? Because that's going on Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael's mitzvah. So they hold the same thing by an eved. So many Sa'ad Rishonim do all that way, that's the raya over here, that the fact that the adon is making a bracha for the person is letting him make a bracha, it'd be a bracha levatala if he wasn't freed. So that would be the shetoso. That's the shetoso of the Rambam and the other Rishonim that hold that a mitzvah saseh shazman grama that a person's volunteering, i.e. an eved or a woman, you would not make a bracha. How can you say v'tzivanu? How can you say that you are commanded? You're not commanded in this mitzvah. You're not commanded to do this mitzvah. And some halukas arayom between the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, just to note, how to paskin. The Ramah follows the Shita of the Tosfos, and that's the meaning of Ashkenazim Arayom, is that if a woman volunteers to do a mitzvah, to sit in the sukkah, to shake the lulav, etc., she can make a bracha, because it's recommended, right? She should make the bracha, as opposed to the Sfardim who follow the Shita of the Rambam, and they hold that you would not make the bracha if a woman is volunteering to do a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Hachanami k'shrabo hisiya isha. So here we can explain, so back to the point over here, that in a different context, Rabbi Shila said that clearly we know the slave was freed if he had, previously we had seen the slave wear tefillin. So too over here, we can explain this case where we're talking about if the Adon himself had arranged to set up this woman. And then we can assume clearly she had previously been freed, and that's what the case of Rebbe was talking about. As opposed to, that's the Shiloh. Why is the Adon himself getting married going to be any different? So the Gemara points out, what is exactly the anacha here? That for somebody else, meaning the Eved, and for the woman that he's setting her up with, and helping her in Shiduchim, right, giving a suggestion to Bas Yisrael, that he would definitely not make them do an Avera, but he himself would violate the same Isser? Meaning, how does this line up with the Reza? At the end of the day, when the guy himself wants to marry her, why don't we assume he also clearly had freed her? Why don't we assume that he clearly would have freed her, even if we didn't see him putting on tefillin? Why would he allow himself to violate this Isser? So therefore, the Gemara rejects this and explains it differently. Rather, Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Hachim Mayaskinan, what are we talking about of here? De Amar Latzi Bo Viskachi Boy. No. Our case of the Braisa is a very case-specific case. It's a case where the Adon told the woman, the Shivcha, that he wants this Shtar Erisin to both become her document that frees her, it's a Shtar Shichur, as well as the document that's going to have him marry her. And so you can, kill two birds with one stone. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Meir, this works, because Rabbi Meir Savar Yesh B'Lashon Hazeh Lashon Shichur. Rabbi Meir understands that this Lashon has, in fact, a valid form of freeing her, besides the statement of actually marrying her, and therefore it's okay, since obviously she's not allowed to marry a Jew until she is freed. So when the Rabbi Meir says, Harayat Mekudeshesli, that's like you're saying, according to Rashi, that you are also Meshuchreres, and now, because you're Meshuchreres, you are now able to be married to me. That's clearly what he had understood. The Rabbanan say, no, the guy was misunderstood. He thought that by giving him Rishtar Irsin, that would also free her, but it doesn't, because there is no Lashon specifying in the Lashon of a regular marriage document that says that she should be freed, and therefore, there is a different Machlokas over here. Rabbi and the Chachamim would agree that an Adon would never marry someone Be'isr. The Shiloh is over here, a case-specific question was that in this very case, is the Adon allowed? Is that Lashon what he thought had freed her? Is that valid or not? According to Rameir, it was a valid Lashon, and according to the Chachamim, it was not a valid Lashon. And that explains the Maimer that we have in front of Rabbi. Everybody agreed to my Psak that if the Adon clearly demonstrated that this person had been freed, or even it just sets them up, clearly that's showing a different point, that he doesn't want he would never allow the Eved to violate an Isser with the person he's setting her up in a Shidduch with, and therefore we can assume that this Eved Kanani had previously been freed. So now the Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Eved Shiniach Tefillin Bifnei Rabo Yotze Lecherus. Allah is, Rabbi Shimon Levi says, if a slave put on tefillin in the presence of the Adon, the slave goes free. Because again, he would not have allowed him to put on tefillin unless clearly he had been freed. Because it's a mitzvah that he's volunteering, you wouldn't waste his time. You want him to, working for him. The fact that he's letting him put on tefillin, then that shows that he's clearly a free person. So the Gemara says, "Meisi ve lechor." That's against the brisa. Lava menu rabba. If a slave's master had borrowed money from him. So he would not borrow money from a slave. He would just take it because mashakan eved, mashakan rabo. So clearly, the fact that he's borrowing indicates that he is no longer a slave. Osha asa rabbi apotropis, or he appointed him an apotropis to be the executor on all of his property. That's something that's a very powerful position that lechora he would never give to a slave. Osha niach tefillin b'fnei rabo, or if he put on tefillin in front of his adon. Osha karash losha psukah v'saknesis b'fnei rabo. In the times of the Mishnah, right, they were still the person who got the Aliyah. Tamanim still do this. That the person who got the Aliyah, it's actually very interesting, and I really noticed this, that the Ashkenazim dafka have a minhag natu. I don't know if people are familiar with that. The Torah writes that once we institute a Bal Koreh, we don't want, because then every person's going to get up to thinking they're not a lane, and they don't know how to lane, and that happens sometimes. I've seen this before. Sephardi decides to just get up and he pronounces all the words wrong. Okay, have a Bal Koreh. It's not the worst thing ever. That's the minhag that we have nowadays. Anyway, so with the times of the Mishnah, the person who used to get the Aliyah was the one who was also reading. He was the Bal Koreh. They didn't have a Bal Koreh. They would just have, during Korot, a lot of minyanim, that we went back to the old system that we had. I remember we had this. It was every single Aliyah, we gave out the Aliyahs, and beforehand we had to prepare. like the person getting the aliyah, because we didn't want to have people near us. We had to keep the social distancing at the time. So we would have the person getting the aliyah would be the person leaning. That was mamash going back to the original takana of having a balkore. Anyway, so of having no balkore, just had the person ola. So here, the eved got an aliyah, and he was reading in the shul. So, and also he's not chayav, obviously. So this, because it normally it's not kavara tzibur to have a eved be the one who is to have an eved be the one who's going to be giving the aliyahs. That is not respectful. So the Gemara says, "Hareze lo yata lecheres." So this slave does not go out; he is not freed, even though these are uncommon acts for a slave. Still, the Tana is telling us that the adon would not be able to tolerate them. So generally, even though the other generally is not tolerating them, still we assume that he is not necessarily freed. So again, this lechor is against Rabbi Shimon Levi, who says that a person who puts on tefillin in front of his rabbi is clearly going to be freed. The Bereishis says explicitly not that way. So it says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Bar of Shila, Kishar Rabba Ineach Lo Tefillin. Rabbi Shimon Levi Halacha is where the Adon himself put the tefillin. He put the tefillin on him. Rabbi Shimon Levi would agree with the Braisa that if the Adon just didn't protest him putting on his own tefillin or some other tefillin someone else gave him, that would not necessarily be a raya that he's a free person. But if the Adon went out of his way to put tefillin on him, it clearly showed that he was freed, and that's even a greater sign than the Braisa, and even the Braisa would agree to him that it would be considered free. Okay, now the Gemara continues, Ki Aser of Dimi Amar Biyochanan. Where does Rav Dimi coming from? Rav arrived from Bavel. Where was he coming from? So Rav Dimi was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. So he always used to come. The Gemara has many, many examples. Kiyas Rav Dimi and Rabbi Yochanan, that he would say different memras that he heard in the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael from Rabbi Yochanan, who was the Gadol Ador in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan was in Eretz Yisrael. So he used to tell everybody. Everyone got excited. He would tell them all the memras of Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara said the following, Mi Shamar Bishas Misasoy. If someone said at the time of his death, Plonis Shivchasi Ali Shtabu Bal Achar Moisi. So he tells the children that they should not enslave this Shivcha. She's been such a great Shivcha. After I die, I don't want her to enslave her anymore. Kofinis Ayorshin Rikosvin La Get Shechur. So we force, even though, because this didn't necessarily have a Lashon, that she's totally freed. So we assume that they're not allowed to force her to work because he apparently had removed the fact that she's an Eved. We pointed out there's two different, there's the Kenyan Mammon and the Kenyan Isser. So the idea of the Mammon clearly had been mafkir her. He clearly had this lashon of free, of allowing her not to work anymore. And once she's not allowed to work, so she is still has a Kenyan Isser that she's still considered halachically a Shivcha. So therefore, she requires a Tzar Shichur in order to be able to marry a Jew. So we force the children to do that in order to allow her to marry a Jew. So Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that the children have to free her because they're not going to force her to work. Although they, right? There's no reason for them to keep her. And therefore, generally, there is an Isser, by the way, of, right? La'olam ben tavar, Isser Aseh, there's a mitzvah to keep her under their circumstances. Here, that since they're not able to force her to work, the Isser is not really chal anymore. That's the famous idea that we had before, that if you have a person who's a chatzi ben chorim, one of the masters freed him, so we force the second person to free him. How do we force the second guy to free him? There's the concept that we don't say chatei b'shvi shel tiskacher. The guy's violating an Isser Aseh. There's a mitzvah for him to keep him as a slave. Why do we free him? Because we want this person to be able to marry, because he's not allowed to marry anyone, but at the end of the day, he's violating an Isser Aseh. So this is a great question. It's a great question. I saw one of the, they have like these parsha riddles, so they actually asked this in one of the pamphlets that I read for Shabbos, very interesting things. So I asked this to Rav Nemitzel that week. I had to be with him, and Rav Nemitzel answered this answer that Tosfos give, that if the person is not able to work for her, have him work for her because the person is half freed, so then by a definition there is no Isra anymore. That's based on Tosfos earlier, and lechor that's how he answered the question before. So back to over here. Since they are not able to force her to work, there is no longer an iser for them to a mitzvah. Let's say there's no longer a mitzvah for them to keep her under their slavery. So to be their slave. So the Gemara says. So that's the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. So however, Amru Lefana of Rabbi Ami said before Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yata Modesh Avaneh Avadim. Do you not agree, though, that her children are still slaves? Why then do we force the heirs to lose out their rights to her children? Meaning, if she has more children, then at the end of the day, she is still a shifcha, and there is a purpose, there's a benefit to be able to keep her as a slave. The fact that, granted, she won't work for them, but she has more children, those children that will be avadim and they'll be able to keep them. And therefore, they disagreed, and they said that the children do not need to free the woman because they are not of who. Why should we force them to forfeit their right to the children that this lady would have? If she has children, they also would become slaves of the children of the Adon, of the master. So the Gemara says, "Ki asa Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda Amar Rabbi Yochanan." He said Rabbi Yochanan a different statement. Misha Amar b'shas mitaso polon shivchasi koras ruach asasali. He said at the time of his death, on his death, but she was such a good Avid. She took care of me. She helped me. And when I was sick in Maine, I was sick and she took care of me. So the halacha is yasu la koras ruach. She should be given the koras ruach. The koras ruach is to make her satisfied. How do you make her satisfied? Kofin is ayorshin v'osin la koras ruach. That we force the heirs to satisfy her. That is by freeing her. That's after the my time, because mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis. Because at the end of the day, this lashon did not free the slave at all, according to this version. Rather, it just clearly was a last will and testament that the guy was saying what he wanted to be done. It was ki'ilu like it was his tava, and therefore they should listen to that. So the Gemara says, Amar Amemar, so Rabbi Amemar said, Hamafker avda oso evet in lo takana. That someone who declares his slave ownerless, he makes him hefker, he has no way to marry. He may not marry a yid because he has not received the shtar shechor, so the kin and isher is still chal. And Lachora also, he cannot marry a shivcha because, that's the shaila. Some Tosas understand that he can marry a shivcha. And the lashon of in latakana just means in latakana to marry a yid. Others explain that no, he's not able to marry, either one. So why my time a gufa lekanele? Because the slave is no longer owned because he was mafkir them. Isura hu de ikagabe. But there's still a kinyan iser that's preventing him from being a full-fledged yid. And he cannot transfer the Isser to be able to marry them to a Yid, or maybe a man even married to the Magoy, because he's at least a Miktas, a Yid, by being freeing the Mamon Shabbat. So therefore, it only releases the Mamon Shabbat, but it does not release the Kinyan Isser by being Mafkir the Eved. So therefore, you're stuck. So the Gemara says, Amar le Ravashi, la Meimar, ve Amar Ula, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, but Ula said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that a slave who was freed requires. So Rabbi Yochanan says that you do not, that they both say that you do require a shtar shechor, a tzarech get shechor. So both of these assume that a shtar shechor can be written, meaning a meimar, sorry, the whole point our meimar had said, I don't know if I made this clear, our meimar was saying that a shtar shechor would no longer help you, that's his point also, that a shtar shechor, it's too late. Because giving a shtar shechor to mafkia the kid and iser, according to a meimar, is not enough. It's not enough of a thing that you're able to properly get rid of through a shtar. So the Gemara now quoted Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, who both said that you clearly can do that. You do need a shtar shechor, but once you get a shtar shechor, it's totally fine. So says the Gemara, Amar Leah, a meimar responds to that. Tzarech ve'in lo takana. What I meant was, he requires, but he's not able to. Meaning that's what Rabbi Yochanan and that's what Rav meant. Both understand like me. That's how he explains it. Now the Gemara says, Ika d'amri amar meimar, hamafkir avda umes, that if someone declares his slave ownerless and then he dies, also evad elam takana, this slave has no solution. My time, because gufe lo kanele, that the adon, is what was declared ownerless is now isur hu deikagabe. He only controls the kinyan isur v'isur libre lo moris. So according to this version, the guy himself clearly is able to free him. Just the inheritance is not able to pass on to the son. So that's why there's a problem over here. But the guy himself, according to this version, that clearly he can write a shtar shechor. That would be like the pashtus of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, at least for the guy himself. So the Gemara says, Amar le Ravashi le Amemar v'haki asar avdimi amar Rabbi Yochanan, that if someone dies, the heirs are able to write a shtar shechor. Even a shtar shechor is able to be passed on. So that is an Amar Rabbi Yochanan, this idea that the heirs are able to free the slave. So that clearly is against Amemar. So the Gemara says, "Rav Dimi Tausa." He served Dimi. His ruling was a mistake. That was already we saw before that Ravami and Ravasi disagreed. So they both disagreed with that halacha. So clearly, it was mistaken. So the Gemara says, "Amar Le My Tausa." What exactly was the mistake of Rav Dimi? It sounded like a good psak. The Amar Belashon Shechor, because the Adon did not say that formula with a lashon of Shechor. Right? He just told his the children to not have her work. That's not a star lashon shechor. The kinyan iser was never removed. Hamar b'lashon shechor hachanami. But if he had in fact said it in the lashon of shechor, but then Rav Dimi's halacha would have been correct. So meaning this was a technical point why Rav Dimi was incorrect. So if it's true though that Rav Dimi had said this lashon, that they wrote it in a proper fashion where he just all he said was that he had read it b'lashon shechor, but he had not forfeited the kinyan iser tibo, then also it would have passed on to the children for them to be able to remove that as well. And if that's the case, again, then back to our original question, then we do see that the kinyan iser can be passed on to the children, and they can free the kinyan iser. So the Gemara says Amar Lei. So he told Rav Ashi the following. He said Amar Lei Ana k'derav Shmuel bar Yehuda Sfirli. I hold with the halachas of Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda's version of Rabbi Yochanan. That's what he meant. Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, as halacha Rabbi Yochanan, does not contradict the Meimar, because according to this version, the Adon did not prevent the heirs from fully inheriting the slave woman. Rather, he just told them to do Koras Ruach, and therefore, that's why it was passed on. If I hold of that version, then Rabbi Yochanan would never say this halacha in regards to when you freed the Kinyan Mamon Shabo. If you had freed the Kinyan Mamon Shabo, he would have never said this halacha. So now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Ahu diskdra da avide. There was a evik nini. Dizdabin l'ovet kuchavim that was sold by its owner to Ovdei Kochavim. Kalim arvasa basrei. So the people, the Ovdei Kochavim, they left no heirs, and now they were not Midian, they were Jewish owned evik nanis that were sold to the Adon, where the halacha normally is again that they should be freed when they're done. Also the kamei d'arvina, so the slaves become arvina because they wanted to marry a yid at this point. Amar lehu, so he says yes, you're freed from the point when you are sold to the evik nani, to the other goyim rather, but still zilu ahadru abe marvasa kamai v'yichtev l'chaget ashechrua. So you have to go find your first owners who owned you, and then they should write to you a shtar shechur, because when the slaves sold them to the Ovdei Chachamim, we said they forfeited the Kinyan Mamon Shabo. That's clear, right? That the halacha is, the Chachamim say that a person who's sold by a Jew to an Ovdei Chachamim, the slave no longer needs to work for his first Adon. That's mitzad the Mamon Shabo. However, there still is a Kinyan Iser that they hold over you, and you should get it from them to able to, if you really want to marry a Jew. That's how Ravina understood. So the Gemara says, so they have a kasha though. Amar Amrulei Rabbanu Ravina, the Rabbanu asked in Ravina, Veha Amar Amimar Hamafkir Avdu Umes, also Evet Einlo Takana, that Rabbanu said to Ravina that at the end of the day, a Mamer said that if someone makes his slave ownerless and then he dies, there is no way to help the situation. Meaning that the fact that you have a problem over here because you cannot be pokeh just the kinyan iser shabo. And again, over here we're talking about a case where that the adon came, and the adon had went by selling him to the goy, he had freed the kinyan mamon shabo. But since he had freed the kinyan mamon shabo, however, the kinyan iser was never removed, and that's mamish like the case over here. That's what we're saying, that this is mamish like the case over here. And why is it that at the end of the day you're able to free him? You shouldn't be able to free him. So the Gemara says, Amar lehu anakarav dimi sfirli. I hold like Rabbi Dimi in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, which argues on a Mamar and understands that Rabbi Yochanan told us that kinyan iser can be removed even be removed by the children. So here also you'd be able to remove the kinyan iser by the original owners. So the Gemara says, Amrulei de Rav Dimi ta'usahi. But they said Rav Dimi was a mistake, right? We saw that Rav Ami and Rav Asi disagreed with that. So that how could you rely on a Mamar? Amar lehu, he said, Mai ta'usa, what exactly was the mistake? De lo amar b'lashon shichur. Like we saw before, that the person didn't say it in the lashon that is indicating that was you're freeing them. Ha, amar b'lashon shichur. But if he would have said this formula in a way that would have said that you're freeing this person, so the Hachanami, then Rav Dimi's halacha would have been correct, and therefore we see that Rav Dimi's idea that the kinyan iser can be freed in Hachanami is valid and would be passed on to the children. That's what we see from over here. So the Gemara says, V'hilchasa k'Ravina, the halacha follows Ravina, over here, that we assume that not like the kasha that we're asking Ravina, but rather we accept Ravina that you're able to pokea the kinyan iser. So the Gemara says, "Ahu avde devei trei." There was a slave who was owned by two different people. Kam chad minayv shechur the palgei, and he freed half of him. Amar idach. So the other one said, "Hashta shmiya be rabbanan." So now the rabbanan are going to learn the fact that I own partial part of the slave. They're going to force me, like we saw earlier, they're going to force me to be able to, actually we're going to get to it later, not earlier, I keep saying later, earlier, I got confused. We're going to see this in the next daf, that this idea that if you free him, then you, the other Adon, we force him to be freed. So then what do you want to do? So he transferred the ownership to his son. So therefore, what does that help? His son was a katan, and you cannot force the katan to be able to free him. The court never bothered with those type of things. So the Gemara says, Shalchar of Yosef Brei de Rav Lekame de Rav Papa, and therefore he'd be able to keep using him. So they brought the case before Rav Papa. Shalach Le, Rav Papa sent to him, Kasher Asa Kenasa. What he has done, we're going to do to him. Gam Lo Yashiv Lo Barosho. This person was dishonest, we're going to give it back to him, meaning we're going to be able to circumvent what he had done. So Anan Kimlan Buknis to Makarva Daisa Lagabi Zuza. What are we going to do? Every child loves, give him a few coins. Bukmina La Apotropis. So therefore we're going to appoint an apotropis for the child to manage this assets of the child. And then so then what's going to happen? Turning on to the next Amud. So the slave is going to place some coins before the child, and he's going to persuade the child to free him in exchange for the coins. We're going to give the adon those slaves. So you're going to have to tell him that you give him something. Amenas the adon doesn't have necessarily because of legita dechura al shmei. So then the person is able to write they're going to read the shtar shiuch in front of the child and free him with the consent of the child. So the Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, and that's, again, generally, obviously, we don't do that, but because this guy was Osir Shalokidin, we are Ki'ilu doing that back to him. So as the Gemara writer, Tanur Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Ha'omer Asisi Ploni Avdi Ben Chorin. If someone says, I have made my slave a free person, Asu Ben Chorin, so he has made a free man, Harehu Ben Chorin, or he is a free man, Harehu Ben Chorin. So all these statements indicate that the person is, in fact, freeing a slave, and then we would accept them even in Lechora. The Braisa is the Chora talking about if you mention them in a shtar like this. So the Gemara says, Asenu ben Chorim, if someone says, I will make him a free person, Rebbe Omer Kana. Rebbe says, the slave has acquired himself as a free person. The Chacham say that he has not acquired himself as a free person because such a statement is just a promise that you're eventually going to free him in the future. Amar Rabbi Yochanan v'chulan b'shtar. Rabbi Yochanan said, all these statements are affected only if they are in a shtar. Although the Braisa tells us that he said these lishonos, they're only going to be valid if he said them in a shtar. If he made them orally, the slave does not go free. So that would not be enough to free him, even from the kinyan mamon, as Rashi points out, to stop working. That's the other types of thing of being mafker, though we see is yatza l'cheres, but you just need another kinyan iser, but here, that's fine. So now the Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Omer nasati sada plonis l'ploni. So if someone says, I give a field to such and so to this person, as soon as the pony is given to so and so, Harei Shalom becomes his. All these statements are, in fact, the guy is being moda that he had done this transfer. So the Gemara says, at the end of the pony, but if he says, I will give it to so and so in the future, Rabbi Meir Omer Kana, V'chacham Rim Lokan. Rabbi Meir says that he has acquired, and the Chachamim say that he had not. Amar Rabbi Yochanan V'kulan B'shtar, all of these statements are effective only if they're recorded in a shtar, but not if they are made again verbally, because that just a verbal thing is not actually transferred. That's not, you're not doing any kinyan, and it's not binding. Tanur Rabbanan, Omer Asisi Uponi Avdi Ben Chorin. If someone says, I have made so and so my slave a free person, so he agrees that he made him free, V'hu Omer Lo Asani, but the slave says, he contradicts him, he says, I did not make him a slave. I did not become free. Chayshina shamazika lo ayde acher. So we assume that the Adon had given a shtar shechver and through a zachin gave it to somebody else to accept it on his behalf, and that's how he had been freed. So therefore we believe the Adon, and we assume this person is freed. However, kasavti v'nasati lo, if the guy says, I've written it and I've given it to him, he never gave me anything, I'm not freed. So the lach is, hadas baldin kimei adam. We have a concept that a person who is admitting something is like 100 witnesses. If a guy says, I owe $1,000 to Reuven, and Reuven says, I don't know what you're talking about. So we say, hadas baldin kimei adam. The fact that a guy is saying, I owe you $1,000, and you don't remember, so then we accept the person who said that he owed Reuven the $1,000. So here too, the guy's admitting that he had never gotten this. So therefore, if it's damaging to himself, then we accept it. And therefore, there's no advantage to him to accept being a slave. And therefore, we assume that we believe his story. So that lachora is very interesting. So maybe we assume that he gave him a different shtar, and he had not given it. And in order to give the shtar, the adon must make in mind that he has to do so. That maybe he's mistaken. He doesn't remember exactly what happened. That's how we're able to understand what exactly went on over here. So that's what we say. So the Gemara says, Ha'omer nasati sada, so a similar thing with regards to transference of a field. If a person says that he gave a sada plonis to so-and-so, he never gave me anything. Again, we assume over here that the owner had given this gift to him
by another person. However, he says, I gave it to this person and I gave him the shtar. I gave him also the document. He didn't give me anything. So then the same halacha. Since the person is telling us that he never got anything and it's only for his benefit, so then we apply the halacha of Odas Baaldin Kamei, and we assume that he had not been given anything. So who eats the produce from this field? Because, right, Lachora, we're telling us that we don't believe him, so Lachora should belong to the original owner. But either way, the Gemara fleshes out, Rav Chista Amar Nosen Ochoperis, the person, the original owner. He's presumed to be the owner right now, and he eats the fruits from the field. Rav Omer Meshalshin is a peris, that we keep the peris to a third party, and we keep it at Atshava Liyahu to decide who the field goes to. So the Gemara says, "Velo pligi." Rav and Rav Chista are disagreeing. Habe Abba. This halacha, Rav Chista refers to the father. The guy himself is believed because he is telling us that he denies ever receiving a document of the field, and therefore the owner of the field continues to eat the produce. That's what does Baal de Kameyadanim. However, Habivra, the halacha what Rav is referring to, that Mishalshin is some esaperos, nobody's allowed to eat them and keep them ayyamuna chachav aliyahu, that halacha is referring to a case where the children say that they never heard anything, and maybe it's not contradicting. That's not Hodas Baldin, because they didn't know everything in their father's cases. So maybe, in fact, this was something their father had received and they didn't know. And that's why we assume really may have been given it to them, and that's why there's no chazaka for the original nosin. Okay, we're going to quickly do the Mishnah and we'll end off over here. Eved she'asa rabba aputki lacherim v'shichruv, a slave, a person made him an aputki. Aputki is a lashon apotei kai. Here, this will be. The person that he designated this thing as the lien on whatever type of loan that he had given somebody else. And then he had freed him. Shura sedin in eved chayav klum. So the shura sedin is that the slave is not obligated at all. The Gemara is going to discuss what exactly this means. Elamni tikkun olam, but for tikkun olam, kofin is rabba v'oso ben chorim. We force the adon to free him. V'kosev shtar al damav. So, and he writes a star for his value. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer, inu kosev elam ashachre. The slave does not write the note, rather, the one who freed him writes it. Okay, so this is a very vague Mishnah. It's supposed to be vague. The Gemara is going to figure out, by Ezra Shem and tomorrow's daf, what exactly the Gemara's kavana, what the Mishnah was kavana was for this lashon. Okay, Ezra Shem will pick up tomorrow from the Gemara.